lives with God. At some point, if we're going to align our lives with God, we have to learn how to tame our tongue. Researchers tell us that men speak about 7,000 words a day. I'm going to use up about one-third of my daily quotient in this message. Women, however, speak about 20,000 words a day. And apparently, I haven't read it, but I just came across it, they're beginning to have research that shows there's an actual protein in the brain of women that is connected with that additional speech. God may have wired you that way. If I were to add up the average words that researchers say, I'm up to about 140 billion words spoken in my life. If I were a woman, it would be about 420 billion words spoken. The question is, how have you used those words? Have they been used to glorify and honor God, to build up other people? Or have they been used to fillet them? Or gossip about them. Richard Foster has written a classic book on the spiritual life called Celebration of Discipline. It was written in the 70s, the 1970s, and it remains a classic to this day. And he offers a provocative thought on the tongue. He says, the tongue, there it is. He says the tongue is a thermometer. It tells us our spiritual temperature. He also goes on to say that it is also a thermostat. It controls our spiritual temperatures. What do you think about that? Just think about that for a moment. Do you agree? It's that second sentence that surprised me when I read it. But the more I chew on it, the more I'm realizing that I think Foster has gotten a grip that we don't often think about. That how we use our tongue shapes how we feel and act towards others, and that does control our spiritual temperature. I mean, if you're always grousing about somebody, maybe not to their face, but you know, with your close friends, you're always talking them down, you're always picking on them, you're always finding their faults, and those words are constantly coming out of your mouths. And we all do that. You don't think that affects your spiritual temperature towards them? Are you praying for them? Are you caring for them? Are you looking out for the best? I think that's what Foster's getting at. Well, this morning we're going to take a walk through the scriptures to hear some of God's instruction about how we use this little instrument, about 2.5 ounces of your body weight. But how we use it matters. Our first stop is in Psalms. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live in your holy hill? The psalmist prays. And the answer comes, He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander in his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man, who keeps his oath, what he said, even when it hurts. As I read that psalm, I realize that if I'm thinking about the tongue is on God's important behavior list. How we use the tongue matters to God. I was thinking in worship this morning after we opened with that psalm. What if God treated words like we do? Some of them are truthful, some of them are half-truthful, some of them are not truthful, some of them are merely flippant and, you know, just a joke. What if God treated His Word that way, and so we would have to figure out what is true, what's half-true, what's not true, what happened to be a flippant remark by God, and what had substance? We couldn't trust Him if that's the way God treated His Word. And I think what God is saying is to each of us, we need to learn to treat our words with that same kind of importance. Too many people, I think, treat our words as if they're pennies. And it doesn't really matter. If it falls out of my pocket, I'm not going to be bothered to pick it up. But God is saying, we ought to treat our words as if they're $100 bills because they carry substance. If you think I'm overstating the tongue, our next stop is Jesus. He speaks these words, "You brood of vipers," he's speaking to some Pharisees. "How can you, who are evil, say anything good?" Now here's the words. "For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you, that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Now Luke only has a portion of that, and he has this singular line, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." The tongue is a window into the heart. The tongue is a window into our heart. What's in the heart comes out the mouth. And every word we speak will be weighed by God. He says, "I tell you that men and women will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken." The word behind careless is every careless word or every idle word. The idea is it's kind of every word that pops out of our mouth. And if God's going to judge those that pop out without thinking, do you think that gets us off the hook? If we've thought about a word, God's not going to consider that one? No, the point of that is that every word is going to be weighed by God. At this point, I almost have to just stop. I'm afraid to say anything else, because it's more words. But our words are important. Because words can breathe life into other people, or words can bring death to other people. Including ourselves, by the way. The words we speak about ourselves have that kind of power too. And I think that's why it's so important on God's list. Because words are how we connect with one another. Do you realize that what we say probably impacts and affects people more than anything else? I mean, it's sobering to consider this. It's sobering to now spin these thoughts through all of the circles of people with whom I come in contact and you come in contact every day. You know, we have our close family members, and sometimes we are both more honest there but more brutal there. Some of that grows out of love, and you know you'll be forgiven, but you can't pull those words back once they've been spoken. Most of us spend many hours of our week in work situations somehow, and we're dealing with people. You can't call those words back either. One of the hardest things to do, at least for me in life, is when you oversee people, to be able to correct, direct, and change them, help them focus better, improve, without emasculating them with words. How do we breathe life into people with our words? That's what God's getting at. The tongue is on God's important behavior list. The tongue is a window into our heart, and every word will be weighed. Third stop, just a quick view into Proverbs. Proverbs has an incredible amount to say about how we use our tongue. And I didn't put all the verses up there. But one writer, and I'm thankful for them, took all the words of Proverbs and kind of put them into four categories. And the writer said, there's words in Proverbs about controlling the tongue. You know, have the speech pattern of thinking before we speak, knowing when silence is the best avenue, and thinking about giving wise responses, not just flippant responses. Just let me read two, just so you get a feel for that. 13:3, the writer says, he who guards his lips guards his life. But he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. That goes back to that piece about the heart being where the words come from. And the writer gives any number of proverbs about controlling, you know, measuring what we say. The writer also talks about the power of the caring tongue. And again, a couple of verses. The lips of the righteous know what is fitting, but the mouth of the wicked only what is perverse. How about this one? Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. Jordan, would you just pop open those doors, please? It's a little warm in here. How about this one? An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. We all know how the right word in the right moment can lift a spirit, can put a smile on a face, can take someone who is shriveling up in anxiety or pain and just give them even if it's just a momentary lightness. That's the power of the Word. But the tongue can also be mean-spirited. It's kind of a word we don't use much, but a conviving tongue. The kind of tongue that gossips and slanders and pulls apart. And obviously, the writer of Proverbs is saying, hey, we've got to watch this side of the tongue. In chapter 6, or 16, we'll just use that one. It says, a perverse man stirs up dissension. Do you get the picture? They stir it up. You know, they're mixing it. They know what they're doing. They know how to get things going. And a gossip separates close friends. People do that. They will salt conversations with a negative about someone so that they can move in, fill a void, ruin a friendship. This little 2.5-ounce piece of human flesh is powerful. And then the writer of Proverbs talks about the careless tongue, the tongue that speaks without thinking. And I have a whole list of scriptures here. If we go to the next slide. See, the tongue is a tool for good or evil. And we need to recognize that. Take a moment and just rewind through some of your thousands of words this past week. If you're like me, it's a mixed bag. And that brings us to James, our last stop. James has probably the longest and strongest single section on how we speak to one another in the New Testament. He writes, we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, and we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body. Remember, it's only about 2.5 ounces. But it makes great boasts. Consider what great forests is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person. Remember Foster's second line? The tongue corrupts the whole person. It sets the whole course of his life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. By the way, it's not an excuse that we're off the hook. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. The tongue, though small, it must be tamed, domesticated, trained. Have you ever watched any portion of the Westminster, dog show? Every once in a while, I'll watch it. I can't take it for too long. But those dogs are amazing. When the person runs, they run. When they stop, they stop. They sit. We dog sat a couple weeks ago. The people had this pit bullish kind of dog. Raise your hand. Goes down. Don't even have to speak a word. Boom, boom. I forget the word. Bed, home, one word. All you would have to say is like bed, and it had a pillow. Wherever it was, it would go immediately to that pillow and lie down. It was the best trained dog I had ever seen, and certainly it was not trained by the Gestell family. I talked to the people about it. You would know them. And when they went to dog training, they learned that most of the dog training was really them. And they had to be trained to be absolute. And when you give a command, it's always a command, and it's that command, and you can't play around with it. You have to train yourself, and then the dog will lead. And we know there are some dogs that are harder to train than others, and all that sort of thing. The point is, James is saying, we have to take that same kind of diligence in training this 2.5-ounce part of our flesh. I've seen, you know, the movies where the cowboys go out and they get that wild stallion. And then they bring it into a corral. And they go through the arduous process of breaking that stallion. And that's the way we have to treat the tongue. It takes training. It takes work. It takes consistency. But the blessing is if we will pour in that kind of work, the tongue can be trained. Will it be perfect? No. No part of my life will be perfect. But it can be significantly better than when I started. And that's James' point. Are we training the tongue? You've probably spoken 1,000 or 2 of your words today. You've got maybe 5,000 if you're a guy. You have maybe 15,000 if you're a woman left just for today. Will you start training yourself to use those words for good and for God? Building up the people you will be around today. Bringing good into their life. Bringing the kind of thing that causes, you know, their shoulders to relax and their face to smile. Or will you use it to break lives? Every one of us has a choice every time we open our mouth. To use our tongue for good or for evil. The tongue, Foster writes, is a thermometer. It tells us our spiritual temperature. That really comes from Jesus. He goes on to write, it is also a thermostat. It controls our spiritual temperatures. That, I realize, comes from James, the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for every one of us here that we could use this incredible tool for good. To sing your praise, to bless other people, to bring encouragement and love and grace. Lord, we offer our tongues to you as a tool for good. I'm going to invite us to take a few moments and just be still with the Lord now and allow Him to speak, to give us space to confess and repent, pray for strength, whatever we need for the taming of our tongue. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have heard every word we have spoken. Forgive us for those words we spoke loosely or inappropriately, for words that hurt or destroyed. I pray, Lord, that you would bring healing to any people we have hurt with our tongues. I thank you too, Lord, that each of us in this room have had the grace to bless others with our tongue. I thank you for that privilege of being able to bring a bit of you into other people's lives through the words we have spoken. So, Lord, as we confess and as we rejoice, we do so grateful that you forgive our failings and you never leave us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.